This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. Said to the bluebird, I've come to steal your crown. With all the fury by my side, I'll tear your kingdom down. The bluebird said to the crow, my crown you'll never steal. When love and persistence are the altar where I kneel. The altar where I kneel. And so it is, and I'll always be singing hallelujah, jubilee, jubilee. Now the crow said to the bluebird, you don't know a thing. Hopelessness is everywhere, and cynical is king. The bluebird said to the crow, I reject your wretched fear. And my battered wings may fail me, but I'll always be here. And I'll always be here. So it is, and I'll always be singing hallelujah, jubilee, jubilee. Said to the bluebird, my wicked ways are true, and I'll steal your golden glory crown, and I'll be the death of you. The bluebird said to the crow, I'm not afraid of thee. Well, I'll fly beyond your shrouded cage to the jubilee, to the jubilee. So it is, and I'll always be singing hallelujah, jubilee, jubilee.
Jo Crookston in our studio with Peter Glanville on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Jo, why did you start up our set tonight with that particular tune? It was lovely.
Thank you. I started off the set today with that tune because I'd never played it before that way. And we sat down in the studio and I just started playing that little riff and that little picking thing. And Peter started playing his little tenor. And although I've played that song, I have about 18 different versions of it, and now I have 19 versions. So that the version I just recorded, I've never even played before, but it came out. And so I was excited. I like to do things in the moment where I'm just kind of feeling it, and it's people ask me a lot, do you go through the motions when you're on stage? You play so many shows, and I wish I could. It's like I love kind of being at the edge of trying to find something new with my songs and maybe kind of being on the edge of like, is it going to work or is it going to total fail, you know? And that I love playing that. So that song means a lot to me. It's kind of this maybe archetypal song of, you know, conversation between two nations, between a crow and a bluebird, and between my daughter and me on bad days or whatever. You know, it's kind of this sort of archetypal, you know, conversation between good, evil, hope, cynicism. And I think it goes on all the time in us and in me. And so, yeah, it's
that dark place. You had to come from a dark place to get here today, didn't you?
Oh, I mean,
what a crazy trip.
So, yeah, we were on the interstate, and it was totally frozen over. I mean, sheet of ice, and people just stand still. But there was a guy, like, he was skating. He was skiing with his poles and his skis going down. Ice skaters. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Kate. Yeah.
You know, even though it was treacherous out there.
Yeah, it was worth it.
You braved
it. Build up the drama and the adventure. You know?
Yeah, the drama, the adrenaline.
Oh, speaking of, I have a good song that I was thinking, like, I got to play this song, you know? It would be a good one for today with the icy roads.
Well, you want to play it right now?
Yeah, I'll play it right now.
Go for it. Yep. Joe Crookston is our guest in the studio on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Great. This song, it's called 7 Seconds. Driving home tonight on Highway 9, and the windshield factor falling, and the ice is breaking branches, and the radio lady's talking, and maybe this is it, and maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe this is my time. And the wheels glide and slip across the center line in a counterclockwise spin. And the headlights and the red lights flash, and I'm circling around again. And maybe this is it. And maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe this is my time. Guardrail bar and the fishtail car in the oncoming lane, and I spin around my last countdown. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe this is my time. Pulling from the ditch, I take a breath, and I ponder home and life and death. Through the snow, looking back and forth, I tap the gas and now I'm heading north. And maybe this is it. And maybe this is my time. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe this is my time. Maybe this is it. 7 seconds, frozen and sublime. Maybe
this is my time.
Joe Crookston with the perfect song for today, with those icy roads around the Northeast, particularly the Granite State.
Yes.
Oh, sheet of ice today. That was perfect.
Amazing,
Seven seconds. Which album was that from? Was that from the Darkingham?
I just wrote that about a month ago, and I recorded it, but it came out on a compilation CD, Hudson Harding.
Okay, that's where I heard
that.
It.
Yeah.
For the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's supposed to be a holiday song, but it's not really a holiday song. It's just a winter song.
Perfect.
And it's a sublime song. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking about with that is kind of those, like, 7 seconds, or the exploration of the word sublime.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like everything that happened before that moment. Guy is driving in car, you know, on icy roads, and this kind of, his past is behind him, and then he starts to spin, or he or she, it's not clear if it's a woman or a man, but a person. And time kind of stands still for those 7 seconds, and the car is spinning, and what's it going to happen? And kind of, I don't know, I was thinking about it as like one of the most awake, alive moments that there is, because you're just like so in the moment that nothing else exists except for this is happening right now, which is kind of a cool place to be in.
One reviewer called you a musical magician, and I can see why. You're just sitting here and having you explain one of your songs. You know, conceptually, there might be another snapshot that I get from your lyrics, and there's another underlying concept that you've got going on that's otherworldly. And so I see
yeah.
why that, how that magic seems to evolve for you. It really is great. I enjoy the George I'm Here album, and we talked a little bit before about how you like to do different versions of things, and you actually have different versions of which one was it? Was it Riding on a Train?
Yeah, Riding on a Train.
At least two versions of that one. And was there another one that you did two of?
I did two versions of the Darkling and the Bluebird Jubilee on there. And then I have two versions of the Red Rooster song. Yeah,
that was kind of unusual.
It's kind of actually all the records that I've put out in the last, I guess, 8 years, four or five of them, they've all had two versions of the same song on it. You know, totally different versions. And that's kind of my thing. It's almost like... my buddy Peter Glanville's here with
me.
Got
the radio edit and the...
yeah. And it's almost like I never can settle on the exact version of a song, because there's so many different styles of music I love. And I feel, tonight this is more of an old-timey bluegrass version. Oh, tonight this is moody and kind of minor key, you know. And so I just love exploring kind of the different ways a song can be presented. That's, you know, and it keeps me in the moment. It's like what I said earlier about kind of staying, reaching for the magical moment. Whoa, you know, and sometimes it was like, that was horrible.
I just love the visual. You do that window washing tune, the Tuesday morning, where you can almost see the bucket of water turning over in the water. Just something that you said about the line about the water.
Yeah, the bucket spills and the water flows.
Into a river.
Down the river into the bay. And
right.
Lifting up, I fly away. Yeah.
Where do you get your magic from, Joe? Seriously.
Where do I get my magic
from?
Yeah,
what do you think your muse wants for you?
Wow, that's a big question. My muse wants me to... I was thinking of some witty, ironic response to that, but I think I'll just say it honestly. I would say that I believe in human potential. And I believe in who we are as human beings, and much greater than the physical realm of what we lock ourselves into, the logistics and the mundane of what's right in front of us. But I believe that we are these kind of souls that evolve, and that the veil between the worlds is very thin, and yet we oftentimes view the world as if it's totally isolated. They're two separate things. And I don't just think about that maybe as an intellectual. I think for some reason I grew up in a family that kind of fostered that space of magic, creativity, and sort of reaching for that magical moment is an important thing. And then to do that in a very grounded way. So it's not floating out in space. I think that's what you referred to something earlier about like – this big concept behind a very specific song like 7 Seconds. And I really like to take a big philosophical or maybe spiritual concept, but then put it into a really basic down-to-earth kind of concept. Because I really, it's not about just floating out in this kind of la-la land of magic without being tethered to just it's hard work, it's craft, it's day-to-day, it's showing up, it's, you know, that kind of thing. So I really love the combination of those two. It's like, and, you know, everything probably, you know, could go back to my parents. Like my dad, you know, he's a blue-collar worker, he's a roofer. He's just shows up every day and does his job really great. And then my mom is kind of floating around in the ether, you know, reaching for God. And I'm a combination of that.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Northway Bank, proudly serving the financial needs of its customers with 17 banking centers throughout New Hampshire and also online at northwaybank.com. I'm Kate McNally. We're visiting in the studio with Joe Crookston. How about playing another song, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about how you got here.
Okay, great.
Dad coaches baseball, and I am on the team. Mom thinks she's Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. We go to visit her on Tuesdays, go riding in the car, and down the hall into the room where the other prophets are. Oh, the rosary, she says. Did you see it turn to gold? And I shake my head and answer, yes, it was a miracle. And is it true? And is it true? Did it turn to gold in front of you? And are you lost in hell? Is it a heavenly sign? I know you say that everything is divine. Da da da, da da da, da da da, da da da. Dad is watching TV, and I'm learning minor chords. Says she's coming home and won't go back there no more. Saint Francis in the front yard with a bluebird on his hand, and she says he comes to talk to her. It's all part of the master plan. And is it true? And is it true? Bluebird come to talk to you, and are you lost in hell? Is it a heavenly sign? 'Cause I know you say that everything is divine. There's baseball on the radio, and I'm playing Harvest by Neil Young. Mom says singing songs like that, you could save everyone. And is it true? And is it true? Could I sing a song that might save you? And are you lost in hell? Is it a heavenly sign? 'Cause I know you say that everything is divine. Da da da. dad coaches baseball, and I am on the team. And mom thinks she's Jesus Christ, the Nazarene.
Joe Crookston here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, along with Peter Glanville. Glad you could come in this evening and hang out with us here on the Folk Show. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about your music is the moments that sometimes you just go off on these little instrumental kicks that mm-hmm. are just lovely. The notes are interwoven. I noticed that not so much on this last tune that you just did, but I just love that.
Thank
you. That's just, I get wrapped up in it. And I was listening to it on my way in when it was really icy out. And I was getting a little distracted because it was just like, it was just so beautiful. It kind of takes you off into another space. Do you ever get in the zone when you're playing and you're?
I do. I definitely do. And I, you know, I have to work at shows to not be distracted and to be pulled outward. So I really love connecting with my audience. So that connection with them is really important to me. So I'm very, you know, present. At the same time, I really want the music to be coming from inside and kind of not externally distracted, you know, which is probably very standard or typical for a lot of performers. But so I'm always like just trying to find my zone while being connected with people in the audience. And I like what you're saying a lot because I'm really interested in I play a lot of fiddle and old-time fiddle music. And that's totally different. It's just like, you know, but that whole sitting in a circle and playing old time music in kind of a trance, repetitive.
Sure.
And it's all about kind of creating this trance that kind of bubbles on and is very hypnotic. That's what I love about it. And so in a way, I take some of that aesthetic of old time trance music and I bring it into my music where I like those moments where it's just you're in a little repetitive. I really enjoy like the... like a guitar part was like and it's bubbling along and maybe you can stay there for 30 seconds and just enjoy that landscape and then I find that the words kind of connect better when there's that balance of the music and the words. So it's, you know, so I'm trying to be a little less wordy and maybe balance those two sonic landscape. I like to think about it with the lyrics,
letting the music speak. What happened for you that you got into that groove? It looks like your journey kind of really started, probably started sooner, but the first album was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So for like the past 10 years, you've been recording. But what happened when you got into the groove and you were launched? Because it seemed for me as a radio person that you just kind of came out from nowhere.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Do you feel like you just kind of exploded into the folk world or was it a long, tedious journey for you?
That's a great question. Or I don't know. So the answer is that I was living in Seattle for 10 years, nine and a half years or whatever. So I was out in Seattle. I had no connection whatsoever to any folk DJs or, you know, the National Folk Alliance or these like coffee house series venues, right? Volunteer run. I'd never heard of any of none of that existed in my mentality at all. But what did was learning to play the fiddle, playing Irish music, writing songs, practicing my guitar, all this, like I was creating and writing all this stuff for 10 years out in Seattle, basically, you know, from 1994 to 2004. And so I had this sort of body of work and my guitar playing and fiddle and clawhammer banjo. But I had nothing to do with it. Like, I didn't know what to do with it. I was kind of frustrated and sort of. And then someone said to me, you should check out this Folk Alliance thing. And what's that? And then I came. There's a DJ in New York, Angela Page. She invited me to come and do like this showcase at a Folk Alliance. And so when I came, I feel like I came still as a very beginner, but at least I had this body of work and I was kind of like, I had these, like I had honed and maybe woodshedded for 10 years leading up to that. And then it was like, here it is. And everyone's like, where did you come from? How come you know? And I was like, well, I came from the mountains of Seattle and I walked down and then I came here and now I'm on the East Coast. And now I get it. There's all these volunteer run places and there's, you know, the folk and folk DJs like yourself. And I had no idea. So once I started connecting in that world, then it was like not instant, but it was definitely like, oh, it's a great fit. Right. I love you all. You like what I do. The kind of connection and the spirit of what I do was definitely a good fit. So I think then it just kept growing and it's kind of continues to grow, which is amazing to me.
So how long have you been touring in Ireland and what's the connection there? What's the grab for you?
Beer.
Okay, Guinness. All right.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a pretty good draw. I would say that I the connection in Ireland, well, you know, I could get into it a little bit, I would say. So I do these tours. I take about 20 or 22 people over every year to Ireland, usually in July. And we go to the southwest. We go to Galway. We go to the, you know, Atlantic coast on the west. And we basically, like, visit a lot of historical sites and, like, druid stone circles and sacred sites. And then we go out at night and hear some of the best Irish music there is. And so I'm really into playing fiddle, and I love Irish music. But I think for me what most connects me to Ireland is, besides the beer, is the tradition of the bard and the troubadour is revered in Ireland. So, like, they love their troubadours. They love their storytellers. They love their bards. And for 500 years, 900 years, they have been cherished. And so when I go over there and I play my songs, they say, you are standing on the shoulders of all those who have come before, and we get what you do. So as a culture, right, I find that the Irish culture just says, yes, we love what you do and we respect what you do as a valued part of what a community has to offer, you know. So that's kind of amazing, you know. Not that I don't feel that in the States, but, you know, there's, it's much harder to find those people here that revere that, you know. So that's one of, you know, and then the music, and then I go. I love hanging out and having a great time. It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's a typical Joe Crookston show like? How many instruments do you usually take on stage?
Utter chaos.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I've been hearing great things about your shows. They've been getting really great responses and nice reviews. So, So what is it like? What are you trying to do when you get on stage?
Yeah. What I'm trying to do when I'm on stage is if I don't do this, I misstep a little bit, but I would say, right before I walk out, it's like my job is to connect my heart and soul with the heart and souls of these people in this audience. If the sound system isn't great, if my guitar is out of whatever, you know, if the lighting isn't great, none of that matters. What do I need to do to connect my heart and soul with the heart and souls of these people in this audience? And so what that means to me is I don't have a script that I do. If the sound system is really not working, I'll walk off stage and stand in the middle I'll put the seats in a circle and just play the show. And that's what I'll do, right? And Peter plays with me a lot, and sometimes he's like, I'll be like, you know, 4 minutes before we go on, I'm like, we're unplugging. Tonight's completely unplugged, you know? And he's like, all right, I'm with you. Yep, got it. Right, you know, he's really good about kind of just being like, yep, got it. That's what we're doing. You know, so really, but what I would say is that I, in terms of instruments, I'm really into slide guitar playing right now. So lap slide and my fiddle, banjo and, you know, guitar and having a great time with all that. Yeah.
Joe Crookston is not only a writer, songwriter, musician, but also involved in film and an artist as well. You want to tell us a little bit about the Blue Tattoo project that you're involved with?
Yeah. I love film, but I'm not a filmmaker at all.
No.
What I'd say is I have a song called Blue Tattoo. I mean, I wish in another lifetime I'd love to explore that, but that's sort of out of my league.
What happened for
you? Yeah, Blue Tattoo is a song. I met a woman who became a good friend of mine. Her name was Dina Jacobson. She lived until she was 92 years old. She lived in Elmira, New York, just south of Ithaca. Mm-hmm. And she was a Holocaust survivor. She was in Auschwitz for 3 years, survived, came across the Atlantic with her daughter, and lived in Elmira, New York, her whole life. And I met her, became friends with her. I wrote a song that basically was a conversation between Dina and her daughter. So it's kind of and it's called Blue Tattoo. And some filmmakers heard the song, and they contacted me and said, we'd like to make a documentary of your connection to Dina and the song. So they made this whole documentary and they released it at the Buffalo Film Festival. And Dina was at the first opening of the film and 92 years old. And she just basically said, like, thank you for telling my story. Thank you. She was so happy that this story of her life was going to live on and basically educate and maybe inspire other people. And she said, I'm done now. And like, I was 6 weeks after the date of the premiere, she passed away. And she passed away. She decided. She said, I'm done now. And so this sort of, it means a lot to me. I did not make the film.
Right.
I wasn't behind the scenes of any editing or anything like that. I was just simply like, they made it. And I think they did a pretty nice job of it. And I'm proud of it as a kind of as a narrative. It's like people's stories matter. That's kind of basically the bottom line of it is our stories matter. And this is two filmmakers' attempt at putting out her story, and I think she shines in the film for sure. Yeah,
I think it's truly amazing that you were such a connector. I mean, you were a connector between her story and that film. So you have it. You have a you're involved with film.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like just that. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But another arena that you are amazingly talented in is your artwork. So how do you do it all? How do you juggle the art? I mean, do you do your cover the cover pieces for your albums also?
Yep, a little of the visual art and stuff. I don't know. I guess I'm just crazy. Honestly, what it is well, I could. This is one thing that comes to mind is I saw this thing recently online that was like this chart of 20 of the most amazing creative minds. You know, Maya Angelou and Einstein and whatever, you know, and they charted out what their daily routine was, right, as an artist. And so they did all this research and the commonality was that they all had a really strict routine that carved out, like they had dirty dishes, the house was a mess, the yard was totally in disarray, but they carved out 8 hours a day to write. So for me, I think in some ways, like, I don't care if the dishes are dirty. I don't, you know, like, I think in a way I'm just like, I will put parentheses around this time and create because I want to. And there's always going to be a distraction, you know. So I think I get things done and partly because I'm sort of fierce about that. Like, I just am going to do it and the other stuff can not happen, you know. And then I also would say I definitely have, you know, some great help. My friend Elizabeth Herod, she's a great helper to me who does a lot of the logistics, and she can contact people and email, and she'll say to me, okay, we're going to have a great interview with Kate. I'm like, awesome. I made a painting. and that combination is kind of amazing to me that I have at this point maybe some that kind of support to do that too. So I'm both fierce about it, and I have some help to do that as well. Yeah,
I think I'm going
to
give up some dishes.
Yeah, give up dishes. You know, it's not worth it. It's overrated, you know.
And I'm really grateful that you could put the parentheses around this time for us today so that we could visit here at New Hampshire Public Radio on the Folk Show. We're going to pause for just a moment and then come back and hear another tune. How's that?
Great. Love it.
Joe Crookston is our guest in the studio here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. There's a freezing rain advisory in effect for tonight. There could be some snow after midnight with temperatures in the lower 30s. Tomorrow, there's a chance of rain and snow showers with temperatures in the 30s. Please use caution if you are out and about tonight. Freezing rain advisory in effect for most of the state with many roads closed. If you do have to go out tonight, please leave yourself plenty of time and take it easy. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Spotlight Cafe at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord, a club-style atmosphere where music and theater are the main course. Upcoming artists at ccanh.com. So you're listening to the Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. And before we play this tune, Joe, could you just give us a little bit of an intro for it? We're going to listen to one of the versions of from the album, Georgia, I'm Here. And we're going to play one of the versions of Riding the Train. So you want to give us a little bit of an intro for it before we launch into it?
Yeah. Riding the Train, the slow version. I live in Ithaca, New York, and it's a weird town. And I like to joke a little bit about Ithaca. That's why I like to live there, because it's kind of strange. I'm making some bumper stickers that if you're listening in your car, you could check them out. I'm going to make these bumper stickers that says, is it Halloween or am I in Ithaca? And that's kind of like sums it up right there, you know. And maybe the simplest thing I could say about this song for me is creatively, it's more of a – there's songs I write where I'm really crafting a story and I'm very, very clear about the storyline. And I love that, narrative stories. And this is maybe an exploration in more stream of consciousness writing, and it's just really writing fast and allowing my subconscious, unconscious mind to kind of like come forth. And really, the way I would just sum it up is I think the song is a prayer for humanity. That's just kind of the way when I sing it and I'm singing it, that's basically what's on my mind and heart as I'm singing it. Kind of a prayer for all of us.
Let's listen. Riding the Train from the album Georgia, I'm Here from Joe Crookston here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Looking ahead in a troubled world, riding the train with a beautiful girl, and everything changes, and everything dies. Dreams rattle around, and I still love you. Tune the pegs and swing my wrist. Every little moment comes down to this. And everything broken is gonna be alright. These dreams, Lord, I've had mine. A little bit bald and battered in time. Better be brave, 10 feet tall. Shine for us all. Looking ahead in a troubled world, riding the train with a beautiful girl. Everything changes, everything dies. Dreams rattle around, and I still love. Bombs and bullets project across. The children run and we get lost. Watching the news report the pain. And Holy Mary, dear Mother of God, pray for us all as we bumble and plod. We try to learn the heart of heart. Turn our sorrow into art. Looking ahead in a troubled world, and riding the train with a beautiful girl. Everything changes, everything dies. Dreams rattle around, and I still love you.
That was Joe Crookston here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio from the album Georgia, I'm Here on the Milagrito record label. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Milagrito. Yeah.
Milagrito.
Milagrito is a Spanish word that means little miracle. And a Milagrito is like a little trinket that you, like if you broke your leg or if you broke your ankle, you might get a little Milagrito of an ankle and you would keep that with you. And next to your bed or whatever, and that would aid in the healing of your ankle. So a milagrito is like a little miracle.
And this
and
is your
the
own...
fact that I'm here playing music
really?
Is a big miracle.
That's a miracle for right. us all on a day right. like today.
Yeah.
Now, Milagrito Records, is that your own record company?
Yeah, it's a record company. That
okay, so you've got a record company, and you're also a painter.
Mm. Yes, I love painting, yeah. I love painting, you know. The record company is really, you know, it sounds glamorous, but it's not. It's just basically I want to make music.
It's an independent label.
Yeah, like sure. I want to make music and I want to put it out in the world and nobody's going to stop me.
Yeah.
And so here it is. That's basically the extent of the record company, you know. And I think that's true for a lot of, you know, independent artists, you know, doing their own thing. So that's really, you know, the extent of that. But painting, I'd say for me, what I love about painting is that I'm alone when I'm doing it and nobody's watching me and I'm not on and I'm not doing it for anybody else. So I paint like sometimes it's just these crazy abstract, you know, whatever. Other times it's these beautiful landscapes. Other times it's these goofy little bubble ball people who like do these little cartoony things, you know. So basically I really don't have a sense that I'm ever painting for someone else. I'm just painting because I'm exploring that. And honestly, I travel a lot. I'm in front of people a lot. I love it. I perform and all that. So my downtime when I'm really off and just kind of zoned out is my way of just sort of expressing my introvert person is painting it, you know, at home quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I even on the road, I'll bring my paints with me and like I'm in a hotel or at someone's house, you know what I mean? And I might just spend a few hours painting because that's I relax a lot that way.
Did you ever wish you were like a fireman or anything? Or have you always been like this painter dude? That
I never wished I was. I was
music.
Either going to be a magician, a musician, or a brain surgeon. That was the three that were like top running for a long time. And the brain surgeon like fell behind real quick. You know, I was like, whoa, that thing, you know. So then it became, I was either going to be a magician. I was super like obsessed with David Copperfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to like make the Empire, you know, State Building disappear and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then, but then that started to be like, I don't know, you know. There's way more money in folk music, so I just chose that route.
Well, you're a different kind of magician for sure, and you like to share that with other people, right? Don't you also do workshops and that kind of thing? Now, tell me, I just happened to stumble on something online that said Stomping Loud in Minor Keys and Story Songs in Jubilee. What is that from?
That's just something that probably Peter Glanville made up, and I said, that sounds really cool. Let's use that.
I love
Stomping
it.
Loud. Stomping Loud, I think for me it's a little tagline of like Stomping Loud of like, this is not boring folk music. Do you know what I mean? This is not sort of like slow and, oh, come on. Yeah. Like, this has got energy to it. There's spark. It's alive. Stomping Loud in minor. I like kind of these moody landscapes of minor keys. And then story songs, you know. Story songs is kind of these stories that tie us all together. And then the Jubilee really is just like, it's fun. When you come to one of my concerts, you're going to have these moments of goosebumps like,
awesome.
Whoa, that song really moved me. And then the next time, one thing I really feel like is like for me is important is like I'm just not afraid. I'm not too cool to have fun, like, and I'm not cool at all. But what I'm saying is that sometimes people can be like, being fun and funny is not cool. And I'm like, nope, I don't buy that. I think that being fun and expressive in that way is a total expression of being divine. You know, it's like, yeah, we're alive, we're here. So I really allow, and that's the whole thing behind Georgia I'm Here. Georgia is Georgia O'Keeffe, the painter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've taken sort of inspiration from her in terms of just completely and utterly be yourself with your art and allow yourself to be nervous and sort of self-conscious that it's not the cool thing that everyone does, and it will be great art. You know what I mean? It will be more true than trying to kind of be the cool, like, here's what the trend is, you know? So I think I'm really always trying to find my way to be like, oh, if it's not cool to be fun and happy, well, I'm going to be fun and happy because that's, you know what I mean? I'm going to find my way to do that. You know,
a conformist.
Yeah, it's not anti. It's just more like, who am I really? And just let it be there, you know?
What's a workshop with Joe like?
A workshop would be, I mean, a lot of journaling and writing, you know, that kind of storytelling and writing. But then a lot of group singing and harmonizing, you know. So I'm going to go out to Fayetteville, Arkansas in a little while here and do like 4-day residency. And I'll work with adults doing, you know, songwriting and personal journal. I find that maybe I find if adults come and they're like, I've always wanted to write a song, or I really wanted to start playing guitar, but I've been in this job and I'm no, you know, like I just kind of, they're kind of not frustrated, but sort of like they want to express themselves and they want to find a way to do it. So I think what I'm good at in a workshop is being like, all right, I am going to, you know what I mean? I kind of give them
teach them how to quit their job.
Yeah. You know, I teach them how to keep their job, but find a way to express something that's true for them and get over the excuses and the, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, it's, I got kids and it's too hard and life's hard. I'm like, no, let's get past all that and let's, what's possible, you know? So I think in a way I can push people pretty hard in a fun way, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like, thank you so much. I was so mad at you, but I loved it. You know what I mean? So I think for me, it's about maybe prying open sort of inspiration for people to kind of be more of who they can be, and doing that through group singing, through painting. Oh, I'll do these big murals with groups. Like I'll go to high schools and do these, you know, visual murals that we've done and stuff like that. So it depends on where I am and kind of what the timeline is, but the root of it is I come in with all my instruments and paints and, you know, an idea, a sketch of how the 4 days will go or whatever. And I'm like, when I leave, I want them to be like, whoa, I can do this. I want to get more involved in this, or I, you know, it's just
there's possibility.
Kind of possibility rather than, you know, there's the news. I mean, we want, you know, it's like over and over the drone of the complete and utter, you know, hellhole that we live in as a planet, you know, if we watch the news every night. And it's true. Those stories are true. They're happening. We all know they're true. And there's a whole other story. So I have this whole, I love the story of the two wolves in the Native American, you know, tradition of the two wolves, that we all have two wolves inside of us. And one of them is hope, and one of them is possibility, and one of them is potential and, you know, expression. And the other one is cynicism and greed and anger. And it's like they're fighting. Which one wins is the wolf that you feed. So which one do you feed, you know? And so if you watch the news every day, all day long, and that's the story of your life, you know, I find that it's a dreadful place to live in, you know? So I'm just more interested in not denying that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying interact with it, but choose to feed the other side. And I think that's for me what a workshop would be like. Right.
We'll have more music with Joe Crookston in just a moment. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Franklin Pierce University, a leader in adult education offering RN to BS and master's degrees in nursing. New term begins January 26th. Information at franklinpierce.edu. It's been a real pleasure to visit with Joe Crookston and look forward to many more visits in the future. Thanks again for stopping by, Joe. How about another tune for us?
All right, we'll play Good Luck John. This is based on an old Taoist parable. Yeah. John had a horse and the horse ran away. Bad luck, bad luck. John had a horse and the horse ran away. Bad, bad luck. Bad, bad luck, the neighbors he'd say. Bad luck, John, has come your way. Bad luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say. The horse came back with a wild mare. Good luck, good luck. The horse came back with a pretty white mare. Good, good luck. Good, good luck, the neighbors he'd say. Good luck, John, has come your way. Good luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say. Well, the mare kicked John and broke his leg. Bad luck, bad luck. The pretty white mare broke John's leg. Bad, bad luck. Bad, bad luck, the neighbors would say. Bad luck, John, has come your way. Bad luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say. With a broken leg, he missed the draft. Good luck, good luck. Well, the army came and walked on past. Good, good luck. Good, good luck, the neighbors would say. Good luck, John, has come your way. Good luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say. It grew worse and it would not heal. Bad luck, bad luck. And the pain was all that John could feel. Bad, bad luck.
Bad, bad luck, the neighbors would say. Bad luck, John, has come your way. Bad luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say. Well, the nurse, she came to take care of. Good luck, good luck. And the two of them, they fell in love. Good, good luck. Good, good luck, the neighbors did say. Good luck, John, has come your way. Good luck has come your way. He said, maybe it's hard to say. He said, maybe it's hard to say.
Good luck, John, from Joe Crookston here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Thanks again for stopping in.
Thank you, Kate. Just great to be here with you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Safe travels.
All right. We'll see you again.
This is NHPR.